Hi everyone, welcome to Wednesday night's call.
Well, Andrew, since you're the only guy I can see from our team on here right now, do you have any client wins you'd like to share?
Sure, yeah. I got both Richards that are on the call right now, and they're making progress. It's great to see both of them. Richard Davies, he's had just a couple things kind of not slow him down, but like potentially get in his way. And as far as just his mindset has always just been, I've commended him from the very beginning, and I know I talk about him a lot, but just his ability to be resilient and shrug things off and still just focus on what's under his control and still make progress, I think it's an admirable quality for sure. Josh Sutcliffe would be another guy who he's just had a lot on his plate lately, and in the very beginning, I feel like he would have had a much tougher time handling what's currently going on for him, traveling for family and some other stuff. And then as of recently, just same thing, just finding a way to get it in and get it done. Like he sent me a photo of him doing a workout at the park while he's watching his girls just find the way if stuff's getting in the way. So it's cool to see.
Awesome, man. I was actually thinking about the exact same thing of the day, but how like when you're young, if you wanted to like, if you wanted to beat a level on a video game, what do? Like you take the time and you make it happen, right? Or if you want to learn how to play guitar, what do? You stay up late and you make it happen. Like, and then we lose that. And so seeing people just like make it happen, it's nice. It's exciting. Is there anybody else on the call that is new? Ben, I love the hat.
Sorry, let's get back from the gym.
It's awesome. Any newcomers?
See if we see any unfamiliar faces here. We see some faces who aren't here often, that's for sure. Greg Collins, haven't seen you in a little while, brother. Good to see you. Welcome back. Definitely some familiar faces. Look at Wells getting his cardio in. I love it. So I don't know if you guys started talking about Costa Rica. Is that what you're talking about, Stevie?
Not yet. We were just doing client wins.
Yeah, so I'm super pumped for everybody who's joining us there. I thought I'd share a little bit about what's going to happen and I'd get you guys a little as excited as we are. So even some of the coaches have never been to one of our camps, which would be super fun. So basically, you guys are in for information overload and ass-kicking overload in the gym. So it'll be information, execution mastery, and then some of the hardest workouts of your life promised. The first couple of days will be very deep on education and exercise mastery. And the last day will be a soul thrashing, something that you'll remember for the rest of your life. And we'll have some good moments in between, some great dinners, some great connections with the guys. So I'm super pumped about that. And it's in a beautiful place, but an awesome gym. One thing you guys may have noticed on the page, if you did go to the page, that there's this opportunity after the camp to just give me that. To travel to Uvita afterwards, which is basically just going to be a fun, relaxing couple of days, just to kind of end off the year on a good note. If you guys have time or interest in doing that, we can do that. So I thought I would throw that out there. If anyone has questions about it, you guys can feel free to ask. If not, we'll get on with the day. All right, Steve, are you leading the way today?
Yes. However, Sarah did mention that there's something about peptides she wanted to bring up. So I'm not sure if you have more info on that or
Oh,
not.
yeah. So you guys may or may not have heard that the world of peptides is a very interesting, fascinating world. The opportunity for these, and I can answer an enormous number of peptide questions. We'll often talk about peptides on our Saturday call, which is kind of our, my group. And so peptides are these, if you know what a peptide is, so a protein is this long string of amino acids. A peptide is a really small string of amino acids. And so the difference being a hormone, for example, has this long string of amino acids and has this global effect on the entire body, whereas a peptide, because of its short structure and nature, can actually be used very, very tissue specifically. So we can just heal muscle tissue, or we can just heal liver tissue, or we can just improve cardiovascular tissue or brain tissue, or just stimulate a specific part of a cell to incur a specific action. So there are these beautiful opportunities because they don't have the same number of side effects, right? A hormone, because it has these global effects, will do the thing you want it to, like it help testosterone help you build muscle, but also have potentially, negative effects on your cholesterol, negative effects on hair loss, negative effects on all these other potential things, right? Whereas peptides are isolated effects or incidents, so which is a really great opportunity. Unfortunately, the drug companies have realized that they can't make money on it, and they're making them illegal. The FDA is outlawing peptides as of now, like as of immediately. So there's still some peptides available. If anyone does order peptides, Peptide Sciences has offered us, I believe, 15% off, but it's like this week only. So I thought I'd give you guys a shout out to that. If you guys are wondering about any of those. That link. Yeah, that's all there is. So the detail is right here. That's why I'm asking you guys if you have questions. as I just said, so this is Rob.
Oh, yeah. And hey, sorry. And like, it was kind of chaos behind me. So I typed it in. But yeah, so it doesn't say anything about the follow-on piece or any of that.
Yeah, on purpose, Rob. So the real thing I want you guys to focus on is the camp. And like, that's the reason we're going. And the post follow-on piece is really going to be like conversational, because we have a limited number of space. We want to make sure it's the right people coming. So if anyone is interested, just express interest and we'll jump on and give you details about it. Because really, it's not going to be a formal anything. It's going to be like, hey, there's going to be a really small group of guys going to this beautiful place in the jungle. We'll probably do some difficult physical endeavors, like some hikes and some treks to the jungles and things like that. So I just want, like, it's going to be a very small group. So it's not on the website on purpose, because I don't want people there who are misled or misunderstood. I just want to like have you guys understand that's really going to be a way to chill out, a lot of time by yourself, a lot of time in a small group of guys, like no technology. Like, there'll be, if you need your phone or to work or whatever, there'll be space, but we're going to try to have this little kind of solitary time. So there'll be daily breath work, daily meditation, daily hikes and walks, sunrise and sunset meditations, things like that.
Right on. Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. So as far as the details of the camp, that doesn't include your flight, by the way. It does include your hotel and your food and your camp to get there. So food is only breakfast and lunch. You guys take care of your dinner. We'll probably end up doing dinners as a group at least one of the days. But and it's a beautiful city, man. San Jose is a beautiful city. It's a super easy airport to get in and out of. Safe. Great, great spot. I spent a whole month there last December. Really love it. It's the best time of the year to go is in December. It's beautiful. Like, not a cloud in the sky. It's like beautiful spring weather all the time.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. So with respect to peptides, I'm not sure if anybody in this group is a peptide user or peptide aficionado, but if you guys aren't, that's cool. I started offering to you because it's going to go away. It's a really great opportunity. Like, I'm stocking up because friggin' sucks that they're going to make it no longer available.
I was actually going to ask you about peptides on the call today, Ben. So it was a good time. I actually was texting Greg. Is there a certain one, like BPC 157, right? That's even for like gut health.
Yeah, it's like, it's body protection compound is BPC, right? So it's a great healing compound. I find it's useful for healing, healing bones, healing soft tissue, super useful for that. Typically not necessarily bones, but like the connective tissues. So it's been super useful for me, man. Like I anytime I get injured, even like, to be honest, sporadically, I'll just use a bottle, once a month, once every 2 months, because it's just accelerating healing in general. If you ever walk around, like, just an overall sense of like ache tends to like get rid of all that. I'll say my favorite current peptide is thymosin beta 4, TB4. Especially for guys over 40, I advocate that a lot. It's the way that I explain it is, when you're young, it feels like your muscles just kind of slide really well and move really well. as you get older, sometimes it feels a little creaky. It feels a little slow. That tends to go away. It tends to make you feel like your muscles are moving really well again.
Do you have a recommendation, like the injectables versus the capsules? Does it make?
Yeah, they're completely different. So if you, they're completely different effect. The capsules only seem to work on the gut. So if you're having troubles with your gut, use the capsules. If you're having troubles with your, body, then you want to use injectable.
Got it. Thank you.
Yeah, man. And again, I'll say this. One, I think I said this last week, actually. Not all peptides are created equal. So we don't lump them all into this group and say peptides are good or peptides are bad. Some are useful. Some are big levers. Some are small levers. Some are not useful at all. Some have no data behind them, and I wouldn't touch them. Right. So like some of these, there's a million different peptides, and some of them, like, I'm not going to touch that. Like, it scares me. I'm a skeptic. Right. But if I see data on something and it looks safe, like, I always look at the safety profile first. So if it looks safe, then I'll jump in. So I'll just say in final closing there with respect to peptides, if you guys do want to order and take advantage of that 15% discount, just hit up Sarah, S-A-R-A at muscleintelligence.com. Throw an email and she'll order whatever you want. I think we got to order before the end of this week. Yeah, man. Is that Russell? I don't know who GRR is.
Yeah, that's Russell.
Hey, brother.
So just one last question on peptides. I've used BPC-157 many times before. Occasionally, I've mixed a batch and it really burned when I injected it. My belief is that there's a possibility that the bacteriostatic water was not good, even though the date on the bottle said it was still current. Have you ever experienced anything like that?
Not because of the water. I don't think that would make any difference at all. Unless
you think it could be a bad batch?
I don't see why it would, man. They have such a small amount of like antibacterial, antimicrobials in there. I don't think so, man. Those pharmaceutical companies run pretty tight ships. What were you getting the BPC off a company that was maybe a little not well known?
I don't know. I mean, I can tell you the company if you want, but I've used products from them before and had no problems. And again, some it's like getting stung like a bee when I inject it. And I'm like, what the hell? So I don't know if there is a similar experience or knowledge on that.
I've never had that experience, man, to be honest. Okay. Yeah, no, I've had that experience with like other molecules, but never BPC-157. I've never had any peptides, in fact.
Huh?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll just order from your guys and go with the better deal.
Yeah, maybe.
Easy.
yeah, Peptide Sciences has all the peptides. It seems to be they're the most reputable company around.
And you said they offer a discount code. Is that something you can put in the chat?
I don't know if it's a code or if Sarah, just communicate with Sarah. She said that's her email. I don't know the deal, man. I just know they're just
going
to be purchased this week because they're just like getting rid of their inventory, as far as I know.
Right on. Thanks, man.
Yeah, man. Stevie, take the floor, man.
If you end up hearing a lot of screaming, sorry. As you were talking, my house erupted, so it might happen. It's okay, though. They're figuring it out. The mother-in-law was over this weekend and she gave them lightsabers. So you can imagine what's unfolding because of that. So it's lovely. So I had a really cool weekend this past weekend, which is really cool just for me to kind of gain some insight. I spent some time with the client, got to train a lot, which is awesome. Got the gym hop and it just made me think about a really cool topic, which is just, you know, essentially just getting the most out of your training, because being with this specific client, this is awesome to see not only where he excelled, but also some areas of like just opportunity for him, because we all have them. And so what I wanted to put together today, which is hopefully something we can all kind of talk about. So definitely Ben, definitely Andrew. I'm not sure if any of the coaches are on the call, but please pop in and just chime in whenever you want, because I think it's something we can all kind of share some insight on. But that is just, again, just getting the most of your training. So things like discussing what confidence is, because that was a big thing from this weekend, just understanding that like you should have this overarching confidence with everything you do, it's execution or making sure that you have confidence in load management. Nothing's going to go wrong during the sets, but also just confidence in the ability to get results from your sessions, improving your efficacy in the session, making sure that you're not only there for 5 hours, because I get that often. Some clients will say like they're in there for too long, and then a simple question sometimes reveals that they don't have to be. Learning how to work hard, and then what to watch out for. So I've been debating whether or not I want to share my screen, because I don't really, yeah, I think I will, but I might just pop on and off here just because I don't want to bore you guys, and I don't want this to be a big presentation where I'm just speaking to a screen. I'd rather just kind of pop in and off, but I'll pop it in, and then yeah, any questions, please just unmute yourself and just please go for it, okay? Can you guys see that?
Yep.
What is confidence? So I look at confidence in terms of the gym as your skill. So think of that like you are practicing a card trick. You've done this enough times, you know you can do it, okay? And then you have your ability. So that would be like your ability to express your skill. So that's mobility. That would be muscular capacity and or endurance. Or, you know, it could even be just like, can you work out without pain? And then adherence. Have you followed the program the coach has written for you? Have you done this enough to know that the logical progression, either load or duration, can happen without any type of deviation in either range of motion or tempo or some kind of workout parameter that is given in your exercise? So I fundamentally believe that if you just adhere to a program, then what will happen is you'll just develop a system of wins. And that's just, hey, I've done this through this range of motion. Let's take a squat. A lot of people think that when they first come in, either squatting or deadlifting is bad for your back. And what happens, you start out slowly and you start doing it with the cues that we give you with the tempo. And you might be exposed to a certain tempo that makes you hold in the end range for 2 seconds. And you do that. And then you stack it. And every single week, you're adding a little bit of reps or a little bit of weight. You do that long enough. What ends up happening is you start realizing this is safe. I'm safe doing this and I can add load and I don't get injured immediately. Because that's one of the biggest things I find with people who are entering a new process or routine is that they think certain motions are inherently dangerous. And I just think it's because they haven't spent any time. They haven't spent time. They haven't gotten strong. They haven't accumulated enough wins to know that they can do this with confidence. Because even if you look at somebody who's approaching an exercise and they don't have confidence in exercise, they walk in there all tightened up. They're already holding so much tension that you can't even get them to express joint positions. Like if you take like a front squat, actually good example of that. I remember last winter I was front squatting in my garage. And if anybody knows anything about New Brunswick, it's like negative 40 out there. And so I walked in there and I was just trying to get in positions. And it was one of the only times I ever had like a little bit of pain in my upper back because I couldn't extend my spine enough to get my front rack. And it was just like, oh, that I got to do that better. So I started, you know, making sure that I got myself warmed up and quite literally too, like standing in front of a heater before I did it. So that's fun. But yeah, so that's confidence. But you know, going into them again, scalability and then adherence. Like have you done the exercise as instructed? Kind of sounds silly, but like you know, as coaches myself, I like to write little notes in the programs. Let's just say it's like, hey, goblet squat, heels elevated. Are you elevating your heels? Sometimes people aren't. It's like, are you going slow? Are you doing tempo as instructed? Are you sitting down all the way? Are you watching the videos? Like these are all things to consider. Have you sent videos for your coach to review? Because if there is something that needs to be workshopped, some kind of revision made or whatnot, and that skill has yet to be honed, that's the way that we can provide a lot of value for you guys. Do you move through the exercise with intention, just get it done? Or does that flip halfway through the exercise? Sometimes that's something I noticed this weekend. It's like you can have tempo. There can be a lot of focus during the first, I don't know, 5-6 reps. And then you get into those reps that start counting. And what happens is you start seeing shoulders move. Like one of the things I was working with my client this weekend on was just understanding if you take a muscle like a bicep, and we're trying to keep the origin nice and stable, right? So we're getting to like a high bicep curl and we're going through this range of motion. He was flawless and gets to around rep 8. Shoulder starts coming forward, starts getting out of it. And then rep 9 starts speeding up. And then it just turns into this, get done. So he was focused until he wasn't, right? And so what is that? That's something that we need to provide, obviously, some intentionality, but also that can give us an insight as to something we can give you in the exercise or some kind of technique or different motion, different movement, some kind of something like a drop set as an example could be employed there to make somebody gain that confidence back. But we'll talk about it later. Another thing is, do you follow tempo? Because tempo is definitely going to help you dial in movement. If Chris was on here, Chris would talk about that hugely. One of the best ways to get somebody to understand tempo in a, or sorry, squat positioning is tempo in a squat, just making sure they actually spend enough time to go through the movement so they can actually access certain ranges you want to get strong in. If you're in a squat, 1 second down, 1 second up, spending no time in anything, you're probably not going to gain enough time to obviously get good at it, let alone build muscle. So ability. So do you have pain in exercise? Because if you have pain and that's happening in the now, of course you're going to shy away from it. But interestingly enough, people who've had pain, it's not even there anymore. And they still have the recollection of the pain in the motion. They'll still shy away from that position. So it's something we want to know, like, is there a pain? Has there been pain? Let's address it, because that's definitely going to change your ability to express strength. Do you shy away from taking the muscle through its full range of motion? Like anybody on the call, if you've ever done like an incline bicep curl, it kind of sucks to get down to the bottom, right? It does. And then we take one of Ben's cues, like flexing that tricep at the bottom, that makes the suck factor go up to like positive 10. So who wants to go there? It's like no one. But when you start doing it, you start seeing your muscular gains go through the roof in 2 seconds. You start understanding the value of it. Have you talked to your coach about anything that may be preventing you from taking an exercise through the full range of motion? Have any exercises or any changes been made to exercises or the program that can get you what you need from that exercise? So an example would be like, hey, I can't get down to my depth. Video comes through. Oh, squat showing that your ankles need work. Okay, so here's either an ankle remedy for that, or let's elevate those heels. Something like that provides some extra reflection. So I just wrote down here, to be strong in position, you must first spend time there. And I think that's one of the things that ability, it reflects a lot in ability. Cause like, if you look at a squat, the ability to do a squat really perfectly, you have to access ranges. And the first thing to obviously do there is sit in it, like sit in the squat. Anybody who's been to a muscle camp with Ben knows, what do you call it? The 1-inch squat, like spend time in that squat. Actually, I have a video. I think I told you this when we first started talking, but I'm going to share a video soon, and it's of you picking on an old friend of mine. And I love it. It's like my favorite video. If I'm ever feeling bad about myself, I just play this video. But yeah, and that's in that camp, you did that. It's the first time I saw you do it.
Who was I picking on? Me? I was picking on somebody?
Yeah, I'm not picking on him, but you're like, definitely, you're, yeah, you'll see.
Who is it?
His name is Brandon. He was from, Ontario. He used to work at the old Body Systems.
Probably known to see him. I don't see him.
So then adherence, it's like, this is, you know, have you done the things long enough to get good at the things? So if you follow the tempo, rest periods and rep counts, like, so this matters, because when it comes down to making sure that you're in and out of the gym fast enough, it's like, yeah, are you actually keeping track? Are you timing it? And remember, us coaches, we know all the tricks, right? So like, especially when it comes down to rest times, we're saying 45 seconds doesn't mean finish your drink at 45 seconds, pick a new song, give one final wave to your friend, then pick up the weight, and then realize the song you picked sucks, so you change it again. It's like, no, reps begin at 45 seconds if that's what's instructed, right? Have you challenged the weight or duration as prescribed? And often if you see, you know, a different rep pattern, so if you see like a 1x15, 1x12, and then like a descending rep pattern, chances are, like, that's to be discussed, obviously, but that chances are it's because we're trying to increase your weights. So as reps go down, weights go up. Have you talked to your coach about anything maybe preventing you from taking an exercise through full range of motion? That could be some preconceived notion. Let's just say that you're afraid of your knees going over your toes because you've heard that it was a bad thing. We get that a lot. Or is it just that you feel that, like, if you, the last time you hurt your back, it was because you went too low in a deadlift? Like, let's talk, right? And then have you been adhering to your top five? This is a big one, because the top five, like what we do in the gym is for 1 hour. The top five is for the 23. So things like the sleep, diet, nutrition, stress management, all that kind of stuff will absolutely affect your ability to get results from the program. And I believe that 100%, but not only do I believe it, it's just, it's true. It's not to be believed. It's just fact, because you can go in there and create the stimulus, but we need to solve for that stimulus you just created, right? And I just put right here, don't be afraid, or don't be upset about the progress you didn't get from the work you didn't do. I think it was David Goggins. So I'm going to unshare just for 1 second and ask if anybody had any questions about that. So again, confidence being, if you look at the guy, the person who's trying to get better in an exercise, but let's just take a squat. Every single time somebody goes heavy in a squat, they start cutting their range of motion. That to me comes across as confidence. So confidence isn't some thing in our head, some arbitrary trait that we think we have or do not have. It's more just like an expression of your skill, your ability, or, you know, your adherence. So does anybody have any question with that so far? Just checking through.
So just to kind of reinforce some of the things that Stevie said here, confidence comes from repeatedly doing the thing you need to do. And I think where most people go wrong in training is they do too much, right? They go wide and shallow instead of narrow and deep. And you'll notice very likely if you've been with us for any amount of time, we're very big on going narrow and deep to start, right? And it sometimes can seem unglamorous or unsexy. But guys, if you want to get good at anything, stop going a mile wide and an inch deep.
Yeah, I love it. Let me share my screen again for part two. No, the questions, if you guys have questions, please. I can't really see you when I share my screen, so just unmute yourself.
I'll call them out, man.
Okay, you still got it? So once all that's there, presumably you should be able to work hard. If you know you can do the thing, if you've been practicing doing the thing, and you have the ability to do the thing, you can do the thing, right? I don't see why not. Just, I always refer to it as like, how do you get good, you know, with a card trick or with a magic trick? Like you practice, that's what you do. You get practice over and over again, you get your reps in. So like if we think about things that help us work hard, like why does tempo matter, for example? Well, this is actually really important because a lot of people don't understand this. When we talk about time and attention, we're not just saying tempo. It's like, I'm not just twiddling my fingers being like, ha ha, this is gonna make my clients. Well, maybe I am, but like not actually. Like if it's for intention. Often, for example, when you're telling somebody to hold in the bottom, it's because you're trying to get them to get an isometric contraction in the most lengthened range. So you're like, hey, I want to get strong here. Or we're trying to get a full contraction so the client can like feel like, I don't know if it's your chest or your back or your bicep contract. We're writing that in the program. So if anybody doesn't see the tempo, something like a 2-1-2-0 or understand how to read it, please let us know because we want to make sure that's there for you guys. But the important part here is that not all reps are equal. So if you look at 10 reps of leg press, like go to the gym, you see it, 10 reps, it's like, this is 10 reps, 10 seconds, 10 reps, right? And that's why guys don't grow on the leg press typically. You do it well, you go fast. But if you do it right like that, something's happening. A typical squat, even done wrong, is probably going to be about 3 seconds, right? So you're still accumulating more time and attention. So the time in set is longer. But if we can control that, we can manipulate it so we can get a desired effect. And the desired effect is based on your goals with the coach. And only you guys will know that. But that's why we're saying certain time and attention, certain tempo prescriptions are there. So tempo also matters. I said this earlier about like it gives you time to actually spend in certain positions or get used to the exercise so you can actually feel yourself. If we think about a squat, again, I'm using that analogy a lot. It's really a controlled fall. And so you're trying to think, hey, how do I organize myself underneath this bar? How do I control my center of mass as it descends? You can't do that in 1 second. It's not going to happen. You're not going to be able to control that. You're not going to actually give yourself any time to prepare. So having like a 4 second tempo can be extremely advantageous to get skill in that motion. So I got this video. This is not the video. This is.
Gotta focus on keeping your.
You guys can see that? Right, you see this? Yeah. You guys can see this? Is that a yes, Ben? You can see it?
Yeah, we can see it, buddy. We see it.
See some hamstring fire. Yep. The lateral.
He was a competitor, by the way, and I love just when he called
it. Put down. Shove your butt into the pad. Let's go. Shove your butt right there. Good, go. Push into it now. Push into here and there. Push here. There you go. Not here, though, yeah.
My favorite part.
So, yeah, why is he not done? Because his tempo was so fast.
You're like, you said you want to compete? You want to lose?
Did I say that? Oh, sorry.
It's perfect. So like why I brought that video up is just because if you look at like learning how to work hard, like there was so many things in that set that Brandon wasn't doing that you were like, hey, I can't even get control of this guy's brain because he just racked it the second that the thing even got remotely hard.
Yeah, I didn't hear that part. That's not a very nice comment, is it? So, I mean, sometimes people don't need nice, they need truth. And like, you're not going to build any muscle if you can't do things right. So you guys all should set in your mind. And there's this fine balance of like almost obsession with the details, right? Like there's the first step is like, just get your ass in there and do it. And once you've got past that, cause that's just a phase, right? So like many of you guys will struggle to get to the gym. And once you're past that, like, you're like, I go to the gym every day. Like this is, or every, you know, five times a week, this is who I am. well, now there's a quality conversation that enters your mind, right? So I think that everyone on this call by this point is not fighting the challenge of like, oh, I got to go to the gym today. Maybe once in a while, like there's certainly days when I don't want to train. But in general, you're at the point where like, no, it's kind of a consistent thing for me. Now, the next opportunity that you move toward, as Steve is saying, is getting better at what you do, which is also what brings confidence, right? When I like, there's certain exercises, and I remember this like clear as day, that I was sadistically enjoying the discomfort so much. I have a big silly grin on my face because I knew I was so good at it. I was like, I'm just crushing this. I'm so good at it. And I was loving the discomfort. And there's other ones where I suck at it and I was all grumpy and like swearing at myself. And so like the body parts where you're swearing at yourself is where you lack confidence and you're not doing a great job.
Yeah, I'm the same way with certain things. And I'm just like, that's been my focus lately. It's just like, hey, what am I trying to do here? And when usually it's directly representing in motions that you're not only good at, but seeing the results in, right? So like, I have no problem, and it dings, right? Like I have no problem growing my chest. I was like, oh, just grow. But it's like, why? Because I'm in there. I'm like, la-di-da. Where is it? There it is. Oh, okay. Contract. And then so other people are like, oh, and they just turn into like a swinging monkey. And then they're wondering why their chest isn't growing.
Yeah. I actually just got back from a gym session and I had a friend there with me and this kind of first session with me. And I think all of you guys would be surprised, and the coaches will probably attest to this. All of you would be surprised at how few exercises we do and how we just spend time getting better at them. It's like the goal doesn't even have to be work. Like, well, I'll stop you 4 reps short of failure almost every set, but I'll make sure you have form failure. Your form is perfect. So we're going toward form failure, right? We'll accumulate more sets so you can just practice what it feels like to do this thing well without going into the area of fatigue. Because fatigue introduces a whole different dimension. If you guys may have heard me say this before, training fresh versus training fatigued should be viewed as two completely different skills. Right. So first you have to master what it feels like to train fresh. Then you have to master what it feels like to train fatigued, and realizing that the more fatigued you get, the better your form gets, not the worse, the better it gets, which is why it should be viewed as a separate thing, because you don't have the mental capacity yet until you first mastered what it feels like when you're fresh to then master what it feels like when you're fatigued. And obviously fatigue has different levels of fatigue, right? There's like workout fatigue, like, oh, I'm pretty tired. And there's like, I'm barely going to make it through this kind of fatigue. And that most of you guys have never been there in your entire life, but you will in Costa Rica.
Yeah. I had worked out with a friend a couple weeks ago when we were doing, you know, the Atlantis. It's like this slightly adjustable bench converging. Mm-hmm. We were doing that one. I like that one. And it had a different handle on it so he could keep neutral. He has a hard time with external rotation. So we're doing that. And every single time the reps got hard, that shoulder started coming like this on him. And I'm like, dude, you got to keep that controlled. And then the next day after he like, again, worked hard, I'm like, how's your chest? And he's like, I don't feel it.
And I'm like, my shoulder was probably sore.
Yeah. He's like, my shoulders and triceps are jacked up. And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, what about you? I'm like, oh, I'm fried. I couldn't even move my arm. I was like, that's all I feel. It's just
yeah, another good addition to put on this conversation is, the way you develop confidence in an exercise is first being able to get into the position. So I'm going to guess there's some people on this call right now who don't have the ability to even access the position you need to get in. So as an example, does anyone have on this call have a hard time building their chest or the desire to make their chest bigger? Yeah. So sometimes this is a mobility conversation, not just a capability conversation, right? So I would say, probably 50% of the time, it's a mobility conversation. 50% of the time, it's a capability conversation. Capability meaning you just haven't learned the skill yet, right? And so most of you guys, I'll sound like I'm beating a dead horse, but most of you guys have heard this, me say this, like the biggest mistake people make in trying to build weak body parts is working harder and doing more. It's stupid. You don't work harder, you don't do more until you first do it well. When you do it well, then working harder and doing more makes sense. You're missing the most important piece. It's like learning to read before you learn to speed read. Like, you're not going to speed read until you can learn to read the language.
Yeah. You actually beat me to the next slide. I'll show you. So learning how to work hard continued. Why does range of motion matter? It's going to dictate if you have the ability to express strength in both and in shorten ranges. Certain muscles like pecs, for example, respond incredibly well to lengthen ranges. So you hear us cue like shoulders, blades back, and cueing the antagonists. So actually spending time in that lengthen range is going to be hugely advantageous to growing your pecs. But also, and I have another video for this one too, understanding compound motions and how the joint angles work. So they can give you cues to whether or not you're strong in those positions, right? So if you look at something like compound motion, this is definitely your, it's a reflection of your ability to get into and express strength in those joint ranges. So I'm going to show you a video now, now that we're done with young Bukowski.
Could you just quickly explain what expressing strength means? Because I don't want to assume anyone knows what that means.
Yeah, sure. So I'm going to share my screen for one second. So if you look at, and you'll see the video in 2 seconds. If you look at something like a squat, we got a bunch of things going on, right? It's a compound motion. So compound by definition is not isolated, right? So we're not taking one, we're taking many joints and muscles, and we're seeing how they react together in their expression of function. So if you look at like a squat from the top down, let's just say, so you can visualize it, you got like your ability to retract and externally rotate. We have our thoracic spine. Can we extend it? Do you have posture of maintaining like your pelvis underneath your rib cage? Do you have proper diaphragmatic expansion? Do you have adequate internal external rotation of the femurs? Do you have knee? Do you have the ability to get into a fully closed knee angle? So knee flexion when you descend. Do you have the ability to get into a fully closed hip angle? So hip flexion. Can you get your knees over your toes? Do you have enough ankle dorsiflexion? So that's like the mobility part of it. But then can you express strength? And then when something falls apart, you're always going to fall apart to the weakest link. So something's going to give. And it's like the metaphor I use in my head is if you have a chain and every single piece of this chain is like titanium, but one piece, like your kid came out and subbed and went in for Fisher Price plastic, you're pulling on it, it's going to snap. And it's just going to happen. And that's exactly what's going to happen in like a squat. And it always will happen. It just depends on whether or not you have enough of a strength, like a strength gap between like that thing that's weak and the load you're pushing. So if somebody has a world record squat of 1,000 pounds, I firmly believe you put 2,000 on their back, they're still going to fail. You're still going to see their weakness. Something's going to come out of it, right? Typically in a squat, it's you fall into a heavily internally rotated position and then valgus, and then you turn into a fancy good morning. And I'm sure you guys have all seen that, where you start turning it into a stripper fault, right? Just too much load, can't bear it. And yeah, so does that make sense, guys? But understanding like expression of strength rather than just being like, go do it. Yeah, thumbs up. So I'm going to share my screen again for the video. Okay, let me hold on a second, guys. I got to find it. So we got typical Tom Platz. He was a pretty good squatter. I'd like to hear Ben's opinion, but you know, he has an anatomy for it, right? But he squats really well. I'm not sure if you're going to do much of a better squat than him. He held the world record for the amount of reps that was actually, I think it was 525. 525 pounds for like 24 or something like that. He held that.
Dude, I got 600 for 26. And it's on film.
Really?
Yeah, my knees were wrapped, but I think I got 26.
Yeah, it's insane because like he had that record. I don't know why it was a record, but it was just, I think it was just that record was beaten by Joe Sullivan tried to beat it last year.
Oh, wait, maybe that was the deadlift. Maybe I got 26 reps on the deadlift and I got 13 on the squat with 600. I forget.
Yeah, it's insane. Like seeing him squat those like a piston, and you're the same, man. Like seeing you just move when I was at Pure, it's like your legs are just a piston, and just seeing
my,
that
my torso is so much longer than his though, like it's a different anatomical thing.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. So you got something like that, then you got something like LeBron. And we got that going on. What
the fuck is that?
And so we
who let him do that?
What?
Who's responsible for that?
Right, that's why I have the video. So that's not only just like, hey, this is how I'm being instructed. It's like, no, the guy has, you can see it, he's a basketball player, so he's not going to have like the strongest, you know, everything that like a person like you would, but you can obviously see that he's missing a lot of strength.
Send me that video, Steve. I gotta send that to some people. Please send that to me.
Yeah,
my buddies who train in the NBA, I'm like, how is somebody doing this?
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
by the way.
So what is your take on
certain trainers who are training superstars like LeBron in the sense of like not wanting to get rid of their asymmetries in the fear that that might take away from their performance on the court, on the field. Does that make sense?
Man, I get it. Yeah. It's like playing with the most fragile instrument you've ever played. And you're like, just don't fuck it up. Just don't fuck it up. Just don't fuck it up. Cause like you don't know. Right. Cause right. You make them strong. You could throw off a game, but dude, the truth of the matter is that I think every human being on the planet stands to have some benefit from general physical preparedness. So strength to a point will only make us better, because the game that you're fighting when you're playing with pro athletes is not trying to make them better athletes. You're trying to prevent them from getting injured. So even when I work with like, you know, hockey players or whatever, there's always a consideration around like, it's not my job to make them better. It's my job to make sure they don't break. Right. So you're always trying to look at their performance on the field, their performance on the court or the ice or whatever it is, and go, okay, where do I see the form breaking down? Where do I see weaknesses? Where do I see them avoiding going into certain positions? And like, cause that's taking away from their game. So I would think a coach who says, I'm trying not to train out LeBron's asymmetries is just insecure. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, no training is going to take away LeBron's asymmetries unless you're making him disproportionately strong relative to what he wants to be, or ultimately disproportionately slow relative to where he wants to be. Like, making somebody stronger to a point will not take away from their physical prowess. Right? So it's always like, to what depth are you taking each skill? So if you think of exercise in terms of having like 9 different potential adaptation / skills, you just wouldn't push any of those beyond the current level of capability required to do what he does. Like, I wouldn't try to make him a sprinter. I wouldn't try to make him an Olympic lifter. I wouldn't try to make him a power lifter. I would just try to make sure that he has physical capability at all aspects of what is demanded of him on the court, basically joint angle specific.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't think it makes sense that you're going to try to not train out asymmetries.
I've always wondered about it, because you look at that back squat, and if you've ever seen him walk, like his gait, super, super wonky.
So here's the thing that I'll say about gait. I wouldn't fuck with somebody's gait either. The way that we think about gait, Chris, is you can walk like a duck. So I'll give you an example. I had a client who lives in D.C. who had the most duck-legged feet I'd ever seen in my life. And when he squatted, it hurt me to watch. And I was like, dude, stop. But he could do it without pain. And I can't see what's happening inside of his joint. So like, I was like, I guess if it doesn't hurt you, I have to allow you to continue to do this. Because we have this belief that we know what symmetry looks like, or we know what the inside of someone's joint anatomy looks like. We have no idea. Right. So to try to train toward like feet straight, hips straight. Well, no, man. Like, I've seen people squat like this and they squat perfectly. And to correct that could actually cause a problem, right? So maybe that's what you're saying, which is a different than the answer I originally gave. So, okay, so are you talking about like joint asymmetries or muscular asymmetries?
I guess joint. Yeah,
joint. That's a different ball game. That's a different ball game. So if you can see someone's like orthopedic structure, the structure is such that they're still doing what they do, and they have they're healthy and they have no injuries. You can't correct them, or you shouldn't correct them. That's right. I misanswered the first question. Maybe misunderstood the first question. So we have structural asymmetries versus functional asymmetries. Mm-hmm. Functional asymmetries, I think you can correct all day, but structural asymmetries, you can't. It's impossible.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, thank you. I should have specified in the question. That's perfect. Thank you.
No, I should ask. Sorry, man. My bad.
But I actually kind of went into a rant on this on my Instagram today, man. So it's kind of funny you brought that up too. I was just talking about how like the problem I find with anything like that is like identity-based thinking, right? You get this identity and you just assign it, because like you said, Ben, like you can't see inside the joint. You can't see what's going on. You don't have like an MRI giving you literal feedback. And it's like, what are we just assigning these identities for? Because the question I would always ask is like, before you go into this identity-based thinking, have you spent time trying to get strong there? And the answer with our field is typically no. Like a person who will say like, I can't get into this position. It's like, when is the last time you tried to get into the position, or how much time have you spent trying? You know, like 0 hours. Okay. So then why do you think that you've earned it? And then they fail to realize that guys like yourself who spent like all the coaches here, they spent like years practicing this every single day to get into position and accumulating this ability.
So Chris, here's something to think about. If LeBron walks up to me and he's duck footed walking outwards, the first thing I'm going to look at is, does he have the ability to access internal rotation of his hips, right? And if he doesn't, then there may be value in me improving his, or us improving his access to that position. Because like, so where I was getting when I first started answering your question, I don't like universally saying everyone needs to walk this way, everyone needs to squat this way. But so as an example, if I walk, you know, like most bodybuilders walk kind of like this, you know, their feet are separate. They walk and they kind of waddle. Some people walk with their feet out. And I don't think that's a problem. As long as you have the ability to access the other positions that you may need to access in your endeavor. So if LeBron can't access internal rotation of the hips, therefore he's massively externally rotated, well, let's try to train some internal rotation and see what happens. Because we don't know the shape of his hip. We don't know the shape of his knee. We don't know the shape of his foot. But we want to give him like margin. So I want him to access internal external rotation of the hip. I want him to access internal external rotation of the knee or the foot or whatever, you know. So like that's the way I think of it, Chris, as a coach. Yeah, correcting somebody's structures is not a good idea, but giving them the joint mobility to be able to access the positions they might need should be your goal.
Cool. Yeah. Got it. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Yeah, it was something that I never really had a chance to dive into. I'm glad you were willing to unpack this a little bit, because again, it's been super odd to see athletes walk a specific way, to move a specific way under load, but to still see them play for a long time, like LeBron. How long has he been in the league, right? 20 years, 21 years. So, but I get what you're saying though. You don't want to mess with structure, but musculature, you can balance that out. You can fix that.
Yeah. Chris, do you recall me talking about like positions of strength versus positions of weakness? Did I ever hear you ever talk about this in these calls?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Perfect.
You guys good? Yeah.
Are you done? Yeah. Keep going, buddy. Finish it off.
So, yeah, now that we got the LeBron video, I think you'd love that. So once, presumably, you've done your job, confident, and again, confidence being more of an acquisition of ability, skill, and you've adhered long enough to know that you can do the thing, then as far as I'm concerned, it's like, let's get stable. Let's get externally stabilized if needed, and let's get to work, right? So there's some nuance here, of course, but when it comes down to driving output, the thing that I found that was really eye-opening this weekend was that once I was working with this client, and once we got into those nitty-gritty reps, right? And anybody who has been paying attention to the strength training world knows now, you know, as luck would have it, the research is finally coming out and saying you need to make the muscle get to failure. You kind of need to go there if you want to create this muscular hypertrophy. And you know, now all the strength training gurus are jumping ship of no, you don't, right? It's just stimulation. And so it's kind of funny that it's going there, but that's a rant for a different day. The point is that like when he started getting into these reps that were obviously hypertrophy inducing, he started like, you know, fretting out. He started going a little crazy. And so when it comes down to driving output, we have different tools to kind of utilize in that kind of position. So if we take something like a squat, and if it's breathing like that, then if we've worked on aerobic fitness, but it's more just like a hyperventilated response, or if he starts losing his focus, he can't control the reps, then it's like, hey, let's get into a hack squat. Let's do that there, right? If it's something else, it's like, hey, I've done the leg press, but I just can't get past the burning. That was actually a conversation. He was saying in certain motions, like a leg extension, leg press, the burning for him just would get so obscene that I wouldn't even be able to spot him. I couldn't even get in there to help him. Kind of like the video I showed of Brandon with Ben. And the second I try to spot him, he would have already racked it. I'm like, dude, I didn't even get a chance to spot you. Let's go through this. Let's do this together. And he's like, I just can't even focus. I'm like, okay, so that would be a good idea to employ something like a mile rep, right? Or rest pause, because that way he can use that opportunity to get his focus back and then realize when he gets back underneath the bar, oh, I can do this. My strength didn't go away. I was just dealing with the, you know, the byproduct of muscular hypertrophy, like as a stimulus. Like if this is happening, it's going to burn. It's always going to burn. It's always will. Like you'll never not go into a leg extension and have it burn. That's what's going to happen for the rest of your life. Welcome to strength training. So when it comes down to like working hard, I view working hard like a dimmer switch. Like as you apply intensity and load or volume, it's like you're cranking the dimmer switch. That's what's happening. It shouldn't be like a light switch or on and off. And you'll notice that a lot of people in their beginning, like in their beginning years in the gym, you put like, I don't know, 45 pounds in a barbell, they can hit 10. You put a 5 on the side and it just bump and it just lands on them. They just can't even push it. And it's because they're like a light switch, not a dimmer switch. You should have confidence that as you increase the weight, the reps may drop. Yeah. But your form does not get worse. If anything, you rely on form to get you through the heavier weight because you know that's where your strength lies. So again, confidence is the expression of skill, inability, and adherence. So we don't want to feel unsafe as the weight goes up. If you ever feel like that is happening, if you're feeling like as you're trying to push yourself in a deadlift or squat or bench press or who knows, whatever the motion is for you, and you're feeling like you are unsafe or you're not capable of doing the reps and weights or tempo prescribed, then again, you got to revisit. The first thing is like, I'm obviously not confident, right? So that means I'm lacking either skill, ability, or I haven't adhered somewhere along the lines. I guarantee you'll find your answer there. Chances are you're probably going to find it, I would say, in adherence, because there's a lot of things in there, right? Because that's where we're basically crossing our T's and dotting our I's. So output continued. So as we like dig deeper into it again, we know that this is kind of like a conversation we can go two ways. We know that like drop sets, my reps, rest pause, these are all intensifiers that you can use. And we get conversations on that often. They're beneficial. They are like, but at the same time, you got to ask yourself why. I was just saying, but the muscles burning is a byproduct of working them. So if you're drop setting because it burns, as far as I'm concerned, that's probably not the best thing to do because the burning is a byproduct. So if you've just taken away load, you've just taken away a very powerful lever in trying to induce the hypertrophy signal that you wanted, because you could have done more reps. So if the answer is, could you do more reps? Then the answer should be do more reps. And then maybe instead ask for a spotter to help get you through the set. Or again, do something like myoreps. Myoreps, if anybody's not sure what that is, simple, you know, I have this joke I tell myself where like, I believe that we're all just meatheads and we think we're smarter than we are. And we just have different ways of saying that really all these things are rest, then try again, rest, then try again. And we call it different things to make it sound like we're smarter than we are. But myoreps is exactly that. You just basically kill yourself, do your set, and then you rest for 10, 15 seconds, and then you kill yourself again. And then you do that for however godly, ungodly amount of time, usually sets of 5 until you're unable to reproduce the effort. And it's really effective in certain things like a leg extension, because you're probably going to get taken by that burn and not actually by the muscle's inability to extend. Because anybody who's trained with Ben knows that you probably have minimum 10 more reps than you thought you did. And that's why it drives me so nuts that people think that they're even training to failure. Because like you're not training to failure. Not a single person on this call has probably ever trained to failure besides Ben, because it's not going to happen. Like, have you read all the evidence, Ben, that's coming out now? Like people are talking about how now it's like finally they're saying you have to go to failure. And I'm like, yeah, but you're not even going to failure. So even if you thought you were going to 1 to 3 reps in reserve, you're still not there. If you're by yourself, you're not there. And that's the biggest thing.
Well, I think that's where our approach, Stevie, sets us apart from everyone else, is most people can go to form based on what their body can currently handle, which is form failure. It's not necessarily muscular failure. So most people's form will break down much before the muscle breaks down because they haven't learned enough of a skill set or a competency, a core competency, to ever go near muscular failure. So yeah, you're right, man. And so like people often ask me about like high intensity or like Mike Mentzer type training. I was like, I think his training is amazing. I think, you know, the Arthur Jones, Dorian Yates, Mike Mentzer is amazing. But I've probably met 5 people in my entire life, maybe 7, who would be capable of doing it, because like you just can't go anywhere near the level of fatigue those guys would have induced, right? Like those guys had not only perfect form, they had perfect genetics, they had you know, chemical enhancement, and they just learn the skill of training really friggin' hard, which took them 10 years. And nobody thinks about that. They're like, yeah, we're just going to do high intensity training. I'm like, yeah, but it's not going to work. It's like, you're going to get 1/100th of what Mike Mentzer did. And you're going to be like, oh, it doesn't work. No shit, it doesn't work, because you're not doing it. You're not, you haven't earned it yet.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I actually think that there's a correlation between that lack of intensity people can intrinsically get and why the world has gone so much towards like power building or powerlifting. Because when you're at that lower threshold, you fail relatively quicker based on other things. And so people are able to subjectively say they're working hard, right? Whereas if you're actually in that 10 to 15 gap, it sucks, like a whole bunch of suck. And then if you go the other way, like what happens, and this is also kind of related to the whole understanding why you'd have a certain type of intensifier, is if you go the other way, like if you're going for sets of 20 or 30, like, I'm not sure about you guys, but like I've done the sets of 20 to 30, and I'm telling you right now, I didn't fail because my muscle failed. I failed because I gave up, and that's just what's going to happen. Something would give up. Something would, if it's your breathing or if it's just the leg, it's so intense that you just can't physically stand it. Like I've had it before with my legs cramped on my leg press, but I know that if somebody held a gun to my head, I would have done three more. It's just that at that moment you are like, I'm caving out. Right. So that kind of stuff, to me, it's like, if we have to employ an intensifier, but the reps are too high that you don't actually even know why you're failing, then why are we employing intensifier? And then what'll happen is you'll end up just riding this, you're riding a drop set so low that the load and the stimulus on the muscle is so low, you're not actually going to benefit. And all you're doing is just dealing with a burn. So like, what was the intention behind it? Right. It's just, it's to think about that.
I'll say, and no one in this group is in my coaching, but I often will build in sets of 20, not necessarily because I think they're the best for muscle building, because it builds mental resilience. It makes 10 feel so much more achievable once you've done a week of 20s or a few hard workouts of 20s. And I think people neglect like building resilience. Like, why are we doing sets of 20? Because you suck at them, right? And that's it. Like, there's nothing wrong with doing something you're really shitty at, so that everything else the next week feels easier. Like, that's a big component of it. The psychological component's a big component of success.
Yeah. And actually, well, I did your 20s on like chest press, for example. My first set, I could muster out 20. I probably muster out 19, and then 20 was the ball buster. Second set, and this is the interesting thing, is like, I'd probably get to like between 14 to 16. And then I knew that if I drop set it, it'd be dumb. It'd be dumb a choice, because I'm still going to have the same problem. It's no longer about the muscle's inability to handle the load. I can't contract it because my boobs are out, they're out to here. And I'm like, oh, and then like nothing's working. So what I did, I just racked it, counted to 3 to 5, and then I finished the reps. And I was able to do that. And then as I got deeper into the sets, I just had to do it a couple more times. And that was like the best way I could handle that at the moment. And like, other people will just drop the weight, but then they'll be in the same place.
Well, again, let's talk about that for a second, Stevie. Can you kill the screen share? So what Stevie just said there is, he does set of 20 and he becomes very fatigued, and his pecs feel like they just won't contract anymore. Has anyone ever experienced that, where like you get to a certain point, you get so much pump? Yeah. So I would suggest in that moment to start acknowledging, if it's just the form is exactly the same and the pecs just won't contract anymore, then I say the set is done. However, for most people, like on the order of, you know, 75 to 80% of people, the set ends because you have some other variable, like in the example of a bench press, your triceps are fatigued, your rear delts are fatigued, your traps are fatigued. So you have to start to acknowledge, is it actually my pecs or all these other, auxiliary things fatiguing first? And if it is those other auxiliary things fatiguing first, you have to ask yourself, well, how do I train those things more effectively so that the pecs are actually the thing that finishes the set? So if I'm doing a bench press on with dumbbells, my triceps are getting burned or my traps are giving out, like I'm throwing my shoulders forward. The pecs aren't the very thing fatiguing, right? In case of Steve, it's probably his pecs. That's why his pecs will explode. But in case of most people, it's not usually the muscle you're trying to train. It's usually some other synergistic muscle. That's where exercise selection becomes just an enormous piece of the puzzle. Sorry, we're kind of going off on tangents, guys. I know we're over time.
Oh, it's okay. So like the thing I just put to add to that is like, it was really eye-opening for me to realize that, because then what happens again, if you look at like, obviously weight is important. It's not the most important, but it's very important for reducing hypertrophy, because otherwise I can just do this and I'm going to grow gigantic pecs, and it's not going to happen. There's no load on it, right? Low tension. And so when we talk about that, it's like, if I if I know that if I'm internally rotating, let's say I'm losing the scapula's ability to control and therefore lengthen the pec, and I can't do that anymore, and then I drop load, then I've just effectively dropped stimulus to the pec, because the problem wasn't in the pec, the problem was in my scapular stabilizers, right? So the job should have been, hey coach, I can't control this anymore. What do we need to do? Ah, I haven't even seen your motion, man. Send me a video. Or it's like, yeah, you're right. We need to double down on blah, 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 things to stabilize the scap.
You got questions?
Yeah, just go for it, guys. I just had videos. So if anybody wants to stay on, I can show videos. But otherwise, I'd love to talk.
Jimmy, what questions have you? Any questions, Jimmy?
Yeah. No. I get to talk to Steve all the time. He answers all my questions.
We just talked today, but
good. Chris? Chris Wells, you good?
I've got a quick one for Andrew, actually. So this is regarding peptides. So I can only roll jiu-jitsu twice a week, like no more than twice a week in combination with my training. I'm training about 6 days a week right now. So I'm wondering if he or anyone else who trains jiu-jitsu or does another intense sport outside of their weight training, if they saw any benefits in supplementing with peptides, if that was helpful, et cetera.
Yeah, man. I'll say I personally don't have any experience using peptides for myself. But so I guess kind of past that, is it to support jiu-jitsu or is it in combination with training as well?
Like what training, I just would like to roll more just to get more out of it, to learn a little bit quicker, et cetera. But like outside of that.
So what's the limitation, Chris? Is it muscular soreness? Is it cardiovascular endurance? What's the limitation?
The former, muscular soreness.
So BPC and TB4 are going to be, the BPC will knock out your muscle soreness faster than anything. TB4 will help heal any soft tissue injuries. I just mix those two. Yeah, like if I ever go through a hard workout, those will be the go-tos for sure.
Okay. What was the BPC? What were the two?
BPC 157, thymus and beta 4. You may see thymus and beta 4. You may see thymus and beta 500. Thymus and beta 4 is the naturally occurring one. Thymus and beta 500 is the synthetic one. So it's not as effective, but it's usually what you see. So usually it's TB 500.
Cool.
And Chris, the only other thing I'd say past that is, I don't know if you train gi or no gi, but gi, yeah.
No gi.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, that, I guess that's kind of a positive, because I've found for me, our gym will do both. And same thing, if I do a ton of gi and I train in the morning, and if I try to lift in the afternoon, or something I've been experimenting with more is trying to not fixate on like keeping the grips so much and trying to control people more no-gi style, even though it's in the gi, to save my grips and to be able to lift afterwards. Because if my grip is shot in the morning, it's not ideal for training after that as far as lifting.
Got it. Makes sense. Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, guys.
Mike Wolf, I know it's your first week, man. Any questions from you?
None for me. Glad to be here. Thanks for the invite. And nice to meet everyone. I'm pro Canada. I got family in Vancouver. So glad to be here and looking forward to getting a lot of good information and tips.
Awesome, Mike. Well, please feel free to make yourself at home and ask any questions you got. If you don't feel great about asking questions verbally, just throw them in the chat. We'll answer whatever you need. If you can't make a call, you have questions, send your questions to your coach. And they'll get answered on the call. You can always listen to the replay.
Sounds good.
Thanks, brother. Welcome.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. Let's jump off. Sorry, 6 minutes late, guys. Steve, great job. I'd be respectful of everyone's time. Have a wonderful day, guys. And we will see you next week, same time.